This is Rakovic After Hours.
In fact, welcome to episode 192 of Rack Addicts After Hours. This is not a podcast about the butchery of animals. It is, in fact, a music and technology podcast. Would you have known, after having listened to 191 episodes so far? I'm joined by Pete, funnily enough. Ollie is here as well. It's wonderful to have him back. And we are, in fact, in the pub where we began in 2019... Oh, man, it's an old podcast.
Yeah, it's gone on.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm very glad you're still listening to us, because it's wonderful to be able to do this thing and have fun doing it. First, every episode, we must find out what Pete's been doing this last weekish.
Right, I have been down to the wonderful county of Cornwall to try and grab the last essences of summer stroke autumn.
Was it there when you arrived?
Marginally.
Ooh, 50-50.
We kind of just missed it. But it was warm, but overcast. So we did get out, fantastic beach walks, get that blast from the Atlantic, that fresh air, that feel. Ate too much.
I was going to say, surely the upside is lack of queues for that clotted ice cream.
No, it was mobbed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, still.
Everybody going for the last hurrah.
Well, possibly where we were. We went for a beach walk, and then that led us into Padstow, and Padstow was heaving.
Everyone chasing that clotted dragon.
Yeah, something like that.
The clotted dragon.
Or they're going for the Rick Stein fish and chips.
Yeah.
In the land of upside-down scones.
Yeah, most importantly, Padstow Brewery. That's what you got to be there for.
I don't drink.
Well, you're just making mistakes there.
Yes. I did have a pasty, though.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah.
Come on.
It's kind of standard procedure, isn't it?
What type of pasty?
I just went for traditional.
No, it was because you were in Cornwall, and I thought, what type of...
But they had many pasties.
Gentlemen, please. I don't know what's in a traditional Cornish pasty.
I'm not sure. It's
miscellaneous bits.
There's meat and vegetable in there.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, there's a traditional ingredients list. There's obviously you've got beef, you've got onion, swede, vengeance.
Vengeance? What? lots of vengeance.
Vengeance. Okay. And it's mostly crust, like extra crust inside the pasty.
Of course.
Before you then... cover it in pastry.
The crust is for holding it. It's not supposed to
Be
crust,
that's the other crust.
But it was a secondary crust inside.
Yeah. It's traditional. They put the crust of the one you didn't eat.
It was for the miners.
That's it. Yeah, it's for the children.
The question... oh, no. The question is, didn't we have a podcast recently where we were talking about a Bedfordshire clanger?
I don't recall that one at all. Us? That wasn't us.
Who was I?
I'm pretty sure the clangers were on the moon.
Yeah, well, that's what you'd think. I do remember talking about pasties with somebody, and I told them about the Bedfordshire clanger, because that's where I'm from. That's not how they sound in Bedfordshire. But Bedfordshire clanger is savoury in one end and sweet in the other, so it'd be like jam or something in one end, but like a pastry. So, a similar kind of idea.
So you get your main and dessert in one unit.
One convenient package.
Lovely.
Delivered to you in the form of pastry and fat and other sugars and horrible grossness.
No, they had many pasties of all different ilks. Mm. They had sort of creamy chicken ones and veggie ones. I mean, there was... Mm. The shop I went to had about 10 varieties of pasty on the go.
Vegetarian pasties?
Yes.
God, you're going to tell me they served women as well. They're so forward-thinking.
Yeah.
Pete didn't want any editing in this podcast. Though, given episode 191, maybe we're letting things slip through. Right. Ollie, you've not been here for a few moons, perhaps.
Yeah.
We haven't seen all of your werewolf transformations, but what have you been up to in the past few months-ish? Half a year? I really haven't kept track of things.
I'm fairly certain it's at least 11 moons.
Mm. That's a few of them. Lots of Peter Gabriel songs, then, in 11 moons.
Yeah.
11, in fact.
I've eaten lots of sledgehammers.
Mm.
Gone back to the shop.
Ooh. I'm so sorry.
It's quite all right. I chose it because, you know, I need to see Pete again for beard inspiration.
Of course.
Beard inspiration.
And you do have free will.
Yeah, absolutely.
You believe in that?
I believe in free will.
Hmm.
That's I think we've gone incredibly deep straight
away. Yeah, we have.
Do I believe in free will?
Yep, let's move back to the shallows because that's not what this podcast is about.
I'm not going to jump into nominative determinism when obviously I want to hear about all the operators on the latest synthesizer releases.
Ooh, that is spoilers because we are going to be going into a digital FM synthy type something soon.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm
going to more important to know what you've been up to.
I'm going
to
contribute so much.
Oh, you are. I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway.
What have I been up to? I watched some football today.
Wonderful.
It wasn't. No. But it was very much FA.
It sounded like it was local teams.
It was very local teams. Mm. It was Dorking versus Horsham in the fourth quality.
The Titans.
The Titans. It's a fiery derby, that one. It's a fiery derby in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. And Horsham rode out 2-0 winners. After some absolute clangers from the Dorking defence. There we go. That's linked up to clangers.
Oh, you're just too good at this.
Well, that's the Dorking clangers. It's leaving one centre-back when you're up for a corner and getting outpaced. Other things like that.
Musicalically, what's been going on in your life?
Musicalically.
I feel like that's a Tim Minchin reference, but I can't remember what song it is. It's that BBC one where he's talking about something about 3 minutes. Do you know the one?
I can't. I'm sorry.
You're just disappointing.
I know.
Have you been doing some music?
Nearly as disappointing as the roll call of BBC presenters. Mm. Sorry, but hey, I'm not Russell.
That's for a different podcast.
I'm not Russell Brand. what have I been doing? I've been watching some horrific documentaries, horrified by the world around us. But of course, we don't talk about that. Thank God we've got beautiful analog FM synthesis to get us through the world.
Analog FM, that's where it is. If you have a Make Noise shared system, do write in and tell us about your experiences. P.O. Box, I've made that up. We don't have a mailing address, but that's a good segue to the world of synthy things, because I've absolutely done nothing this week apart from have a car written off. Pete,
yes.
Which direction would you like to go first when I get my phone away from the...
Yep.
Anyway, the options are a synth that we've had for a while that's been refreshed slightly and is available in a different form.
Okay.
Would you like a segment of What Has Behringer Done Now? Or a new flagship synth from a synthesizer company that doesn't do anything interesting? Or something Spanish and weird.
Should we start with the flagship?
Let's do it. Let's get that out of the way. Because I think you know what that is. Has this appeared at the shop yet?
I think I was caressing one earlier today.
Ooh. Was it a tender caress? A loving one, in
fact? Yes, I quite like it.
Ooh. Well, of course, Pete is talking about the new Yamaha Montage M. 400-note polyphony. Virtual analog engine of the new variety and polyphonic aftertouch. That's cool. I'm sorry, I haven't actually looked into this at all because I just don't care. Your impressions, Pete. You have a Montage, so...
No, I've got a Motif, which is the previous...
Oh, a Motif, the one before that.
Yes.
Oh, that's actually a better angle, I think, compared to the previous generation. So two generations back.
Yes.
What is possibly enticing you about the new Montage M?
It's just more.
It's just more.
It's just extra.
Is that what the M stands for?
More.
I have no idea.
The new
what the M
Montage
stands for.
More.
Yeah, Montage More.
Montage More. It came after Montage Lazenby and Montage Connery.
Yes.
Now we're on Montage More.
Yes.
Wonderful.
The longest serving Montage.
The complaints appear to be with the previous generation, kind of unpleasant UI. And, well, a pig of a UI, I think, is what Ant from the ModCaf said.
Because I quite like pigs.
Pigs are good, but not when you want to make music.
Same UI.
Oh.
And but it's got another screen above the...
Separate screens?
Yes.
Oh, my.
It's a long, narrow stream above the control surface for things like filters and sliders.
So it is. Yeah. Yeah, so a little bit more...
Information
about what you're actually controlling. Oh, I didn't want an auto change to some dude playing.
Does it still have the throbbing knob?
Yes.
What do they call it? It's not the big knob. That's Mackie. Multi knob. We tried to think of it the other day.
Yeah. What's the big knob called?
It's multiple parameters on one thing, isn't it? It's just the Montage. You know, I used to work for their makers. And obviously,
Of course you did.
You've actually got me on the episode talking of synthesizers. It's the only one I've been trained on.
Oh, it's brilliant. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
So you
absolutely.
Were... It would have been, Montage.
And Montage, 100%.
Were you around when the MODX turned up?
No, I left just before that.
Just
Mod
before.
X. No, not the Mod X, because there was...
No, Mod X is the one I'm thinking of. It
Maybe
was kind of the cut-down,
about.
Similarly sized stage keyboard synth thing.
yeah, replaced another mid-range one that, that escapes me. But yeah, so what I mean, the montage, I remember the key action feeling nice to me.
Yeah,
I agree.
The throbbing knob looking great.
Yeah,
I remember it sounding fantastic through Yamaha's like £2,000 monitors.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I get the impression that it's a helix amongst pedals for you guys.
Ah. Yeah, totally. That category really is. It's the every sound you could possibly want in a box situation. And in theory, program an entire live set on the thing. It's absolutely the Helix in the synth world.
Was right. It 16-part multi-timbral?
Well, not in the guitar world, it's not. But yeah, it's got a huge amount of polyphony. 400 notes, but in terms of the multi-timbralatai, before I find out what that is, it is the super knob. That's what they call it. The wonderful RGB LED ring.
Makes sense.
Mm. Picked up another nickname of mine.
The super knob. Your super knob Ollie is with us here today.
All of this is staying in.
Good. Yeah, great. Because Pete really doesn't want to do any editing, because that's fair enough, because yeah. It is, in fact, Saturday, the day that this podcast is published. That's weird. We never get this close to the line unless we're in the pub.
Yep. So it's going to go out fresh and raw.
Oh, dear.
So the specs are 400-note polyphony across all engines, 128 notes for the AWM2. I don't know what that means. 128 notes for the AWM2. Again, 128 notes for the FM engine, and 16 for the new analog modeling engine.
So how many engines is that? Three or four in total?
That's four.
Four separate engines.
128, 128, 128, and then 16. 16 being the analog modeling thing.
It has as many engines as cows have stomachs.
Exactly. It is a cow of a synth. I'm sure it sounds good, though.
I kind of fancy one. I was... Ooh. Deliberating whether I
Your
could
motif
sell my
might
motif
to,
and get one of these.
Well, the problem is, now it's out, or at least announced, doesn't that devalue your motif? Which probably sounds good.
I don't think so. I think the motif has got to its kind of floor
yeah.
Value-wise.
Because it's absolutely capable.
Yes.
It's just older.
Yes.
It's always that question, isn't it? Vintage guitars, synths, anything. When is the point that you sell it and just kind of accept that it might have hit the bottom? Have you got any experience in the trading and timing of vintage guitar stuff?
Oh, yeah. Far so much.
Awesome. I mean, do tell us.
100%. I mean, it is always the fallacy of, the new one's come out, so this one's going to be cheaper. And that does reflect in the second-hand market.
That is my assumption, so tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, certainly for the first amount of time, it's all about availability. Mm. It's the old adage that NAM just stood for not available, maybe March.
And so that's a good one.
Until they're in the market, you don't really see the second-hand values go down. I mean, of any updated product. It's difficult for me in guitar world where there's less digital dominance, because digital stuff is like your mobile phone. What was your iPhone doing 10 years ago versus what it does today?
Yeah, it's not the same kind of deal.
It's exactly. Whereas, you know, how many times can I resell a Tube Screamer? Not that many. So the resale value, the enterprising value that you're paying for has got to be worth it. It's got to be worth it to the market. And I mean, that levels the question I really want to ask Pete.
Go on.
What was it then about this? What's the M factor of the Montage M?
It's hard to say because it looks identical to the predecessor.
Well, yes, that's the thing. So you didn't go for the Montage. What's now making you think
I was contemplating the Montage.
You were.
And now that's gone away and the Montage M has arrived.
So it's just another temptation.
It's another temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got lots of blinky lights.
Ooh, it does have a lot of lights.
And two screens now.
Faders. It's stuff everywhere. I mean, I'm sure he'll be very capable.
And a super knob.
Oh, wait, did the motif not have a super knob?
No, the motif does not have a super knob.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it was the Montage headline. Comes with super knob.
You're knobless.
Yes, it would appear so.
In a studio of plenty of knobs, Pete appears knobless. Anyway, there's plenty of videos on this thing. So Montage M, go and have a look if you're into the ultra synth, many piano, many sampler instruments, FM engine, analog modelling, all of those things. It's around. There's going to be all of the everybody covering it. So why not have a look?
I was debating about its usage with some of my colleagues in the shop today.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of decided it's the sort of thing that you sling into a studio and you can sit in front and do songwriting with very well. Using it live, most probably okay, but maybe a bit fiddly with all the menu diving.
It seems like it might be the really heavily program your set type deal, whereas a Nord might be slightly freer to move around the sounds that you need for what you've got.
Well, the Nord's much more immediate because all the control surface is just there, and that's the whole modus operandi for those units.
Absolutely. That's why you see them on all the big tours.
Yes.
With all the people that we know and have rubbed shoulders with. They love Nords.
We certainly do.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, I've got no racial preference. I'm sure they're fine people.
Well, we've got to move on to some FM stuff because you foreshadowed it, didn't you, Ollie? Right, this is the What's Behringer Done Now section. This guy is still kind of Volca format, you know, that small something touchplate keyboard, and it's got that suspiciously 80s, what do you call that, kind of a teal? A sort of really odd off-green.
During dinner mint.
There you go, a during dinner mint green. So this guy is called the BX700. Portable DX7 style FM synth, so it looks like they're going directly at the Volca FM and Volca. They call it the Volca FM2 because there was a new one recently, wasn't it?
I think so.
That's the guy. So, DX7 style FM synth with an analog CS80 filter, and hang on a second, they've called it D-Beam. What does that make you think of, Pete?
The D-Beam.
Funnily enough, the Roland D-Beam, the stupid wave your hand around at the wharp, 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 wharp noise. That sounded like a didgeridoo. But it's the, I think it's an infrared kind of LDR type distance sensing something that lets you modulate stuff and look like a prat while you're doing it.
Depending on where your hand is.
Exactly.
And how far your hand is from the synthesizer.
Slightly theremin, but overall kind of rubbish. So what do we know about the BX700? We know 6 operators, there is a display in the middle, there are very 80s colours and a touchplate thing, there's an analog filter, and potentially it's more on the groove boxy thing. But of course, this is potentially vaporware, as is so much of the modern Behringer offering. Eventually, it'll turn up, I'm sure.
Oh, I didn't mention I bought a JT4000.
What on earth is a JT4000 and who makes it?
Behringer four-voice polyphonic mini thing that fits in the palm of your hand that we talked about a few episodes ago.
Wait, what? One of those teeny tiny Behringer things turned up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listeners.
Like a stylophone on roids.
It seems smaller. It's about that size.
Wow. Bigger than a pocket operator, but very small. And, listeners, of course, you're going to have to listen to that next episode because I will not let you escape without playing it on episode 193.
I will put something together for you.
Oh, my. How did a lot of them turn up at the shop all at once?
Thousands.
Oh, a lot.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, well, stay tuned to the next episode to hear what that's all about. Behringer vaporware that has, in fact, turned up in physicality.
Yeah, it truly materialised.
Wonderful. Now, do you remember the Waldorf Iridium?
Yes.
Did you ever care about it that much?
No.
Well, now, there's another version. This is the Waldorf Iridium Core. The full thing in a smaller desktop module doodad.
I see, it's much smaller.
It is small. The original version was a big old 61-key keyboard type thing.
It's a core because it's small, not because it's featured on a carry-on movie.
It's small.
Okay.
Yeah, it is small. And the price is almost exactly as you would expect from the previous version, the module. It's €1,800.
Yeah.
There it is. It's smaller if you're really running out of desk space. Most interestingly, the Befaco... what do they call it? Not Cassette Boy. That's somebody else. FX Boy. The Befaco FX Boy is soon to be available. And you get 7 hot swappable cartridges for €450 assembled, or €360 for the kit version. So
quite expensive kit.
It is quite a lot. But of course, the cartridges are kind of pre-made by a bunch of fantastical, wondrous people. So this is an analog Eurorack synth module with, they are original Game Boy format cartridges with analog effects on them. So you have a Toolscorn Harsh Fuzz and Overdrive, Instruo Phaser, a vintage flanger, a double effect module, a delay and granularizer, and an analog wave folder and a bit crusher, and another distortion.
So you've got to change the modules to get the different effects.
Well, same module, different cartridges, all of which come with the module.
Okay, that's what I meant. So the cartridges, can you hot swap them?
Ooh, hot swapping. I'd imagine so. Having to power cycle your case would be a nightmare.
Yes.
I haven't seen words to either direction. I would hope that, yeah, you can absolutely swap them out on the fly. It'd be quite interesting seeing the control positions from the previous effect turning up on the new one and see what kind of sounds you get.
Yes.
Could be quite cool. It's fun. Is it gimmicky? What do you think? Having a multi-effect pedal or something that has physical cartridges that you have to...
Of course it's a gimmick, but gimmicks are... If a gimmick brings out a particular mind state and sound in you, then what's wrong with a gimmick? Mm. If we're after creativity here, I'm almost certain no one who's working professionally in making wonderful synthesizer sounds is going to be relying on a Game Boy cartridge to get them that sound.
Mm.
You know, that they would just spend their money on... Pete's motif, which will be on Reverb shortly.
That is a good point. But I do think, yeah, for the casual punter who just enjoys making synthesizer-y sounds, what a bunch of fun.
Yes.
Sounds cool. And we do like Bafaco. They make some cool stuff.
So when you can get the kits to work.
Pete.
I know, I still haven't fixed it.
Is that not down to a mistake that you couldn't find?
Yes.
Oh dear. But yes.
I've lost the will to look for it now.
To be fair, that is their biggest module, the Hex Mix.
Yeah.
Was it? It was on the main bit, not the expander, wasn't it?
I haven't really decided because each channel strip functionality moves between the two boards. So it comes down one board, crosses over to the other board, comes back.
So it's possibly the worst troubleshooting problem you could possibly have in modular.
And it's also one of the chips that's on the other side to the potentiometer, so you can't really get on it.
The dismantling... I remember assembling my Hex Mix. Getting the panel on was tough.
I might email them again. They were very helpful, but now that we're not in the European Union, we don't
could
have
be pricey.
The same...
The happy
privileges.
Ending kit
yes.
might not be
well,
so cheap.
It's double.
It was like, what, 50 euros?
Yeah.
It's now 100.
Anyone outside the Eurozone, it's way more.
Wow. So it was so much cheaper when we were bribing them with our fishing waters.
Yes.
Oh, dear. If only it were still so. Well, there is a giant list of many multitudes of modulary somethings in my news thing, the bit that I find stuff to talk about from, but we'll find those later. We went for the headlines today, but now we must move on to our final segment, the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation, and I know Ollie is ready with his. Fire away.
Yeah, I've been down here crouching, just waiting to yeet it into this microphone.
Wonderful.
It's actually one again, not from my world, but it's musical. I'm not going to talk about football this time. That was the last time I was on here, because I was something about the World Cup and how awkward it was that it's in Qatar, but we're here now.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But so, now we're talking about music.
But now we're talking about music. Unbelievable. Unbelievable move from me. Many of your listeners, if you are listening and you haven't checked this out, then you're doing us a disservice. But it's Chad Smith's appearance on the Drumeo YouTube channel. Chad Smith is obviously a very famous drummer, famous for looking like Will Ferrell, famous for, of course, being in the Chili Peppers. But I don't think he quite got the kudos as an instrumentalist that, of course, Flea and John Frusciante got in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Most of the Chili Peppers fanboys, which I count myself as one of them in my youth, would be, you know, they would always be wax lyrical about those two and their musical ability to jam it out. And Chad Smith was always, you know, he was always, what's the word?
Well, he didn't let the side down.
He never let the
he was
side
keeping
down.
Up.
That's it. He always gave everyone scope to do what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, on the Drumeo channel, I mean, a very famous YouTube channel. If you're not aware of the YouTube channel, firstly, how has your rock been for the past 10 years you've been living under? But secondly, the first thing you're going to hit is John Sugarfoot Moffat from Michael Jackson's former drummer, covering Smooth Criminal. And it is just the most ridiculous take.
He's got like a couple of crashes behind him.
His kit is something, else. And his talent is outrageous. Just, it's stunning. It's one of those where you just watch a professional do their job at an instrument and any layman can enjoy it.
Mm,
it's like watching Ronnie O'Sullivan play snooker, or watching Messi with a football, or watching, and he does a cover of 30 Seconds to Mars, The Kill. It's the first time he hears it, and it's on the first pass, and he just goes for it. And it is astounding. His ability to pull and push, hit behind the beat, just behind the beat, and then push the beat when it needs to be. He tells what the beat, where the song's going to go as well. It's just outrageous talent. The speed of his hands, his ability to break sticks on this cover. It's really not his bag. It's completely not his musical bag, and he absolutely knocks it out of the park, befitting of a man of that talent. It's superb, and props to Chad Smith musically. I think it's long overdue, and it's delivered.
Yeah, I've seen a few of the other kind of series in that drummer has a first go at without hearing type stuff, and everybody else listens through kind of most of the song and then kind of comes back and goes through. He got like, what, half an intro in, just like, oh yeah, yeah, I got it, and then he had it.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
That's it.
I was so impressed.
He spends literally a verse going, oh wait, it's in 6/8 or 3, and then he waits for the first bit of the chorus, and then he's in, and it's outrageous.
Brilliant. Really great stuff. Drumeo channel, you got to be there. Even if you don't like, or even if you don't play drums. I don't play drums.
Oh,
I love drums. It's a great place to be.
I don't play drums. I can't play drums. It is absolutely stunning. They do great stuff.
Absolutely. Pete, what have you got for us this week?
Right, another easy one. I've been starting to enjoy the new Loki series on the Disney Plus channel.
A new one?
Yeah, second series. We're on episode 2. In fact, I'm going to go and watch episode 2 tonight. I'm a bit late, a bit behind.
Oh, dear.
It follows on from the first series. Tom Hiddleston is obviously the main...
Outstanding.
...focus, but we have various other... But there is obviously Owen Wilson as well.
Wow.
He makes a good... Well, he makes a good counterfoil to Tom Hiddleston's character. Yes.
Well, it's because he's got a wonky nose. You need someone with a wonky nose. Tom Hiddleston's got a lovely nose, so you need someone with a gross
nose. Someone to counterpoint the wonky nose.
The precision of the Hiddleston nose.
But anyway, yes. Recommend it to anyone, especially if you're into the Marvel Universe. So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the new Loki series, Series 2 of Loki.
Disney Plus?
On Disney Plus.
Wonderful.
And of course, apologies to Owen Wilson. Big fan of the show, always listens.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, for a musical one, I get to add this to the Rack Addicts After Hours Spotify playlist. tinyurl.com/rackaddicts. So this guy is Whispering House from Hania Rani and Olafur Arnalds. It is a wonderful, ambient, sensitive, piano, synthesizery wonderfulness. You got to listen to it. If you're in that kind of introspective, ambient sort of mood, this is brilliant. So Hania Rani has... I'm so sorry, I've just not got that name right. But it is Hania Rani, Hania... I don't know. It's always the problem with these names. Anyway, there's a whole album that's out, and it is wonderful if you are after that piano-centric, synthesizer-adjacent ambient music. This one is called Whispering House from the album Ghosts, and it is on the Spotify playlist, tinyurl.com/rackaddicts. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to episode 192 of Rack Addicts After Hours. We are fast approaching our 5th anniversary? 4th?
It's hard to say.
I don't know. Either way, it's been a hell of a long time, and thank you for being here every step of the way. Well, 2019, December-ish.
Yes.
That was the one.
That's when we started this episode.
In this very... place. Which booth were we in?
The
Pete?
One at the end.
Not the. We got to get there in December 2019. We got to get into the end booth.
There was someone in there when I came this evening. So
rubbish. Right. I said 2019. I meant 2023.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll get there for an anniversary edition. It'll be wonderful.
This is the loose, fast and loose edition where I'm just not going to edit it very much. So
excellent.
They're going to get it raw and
Gaz,
dangerous.
You're going to love it. Well, thanks for listening and farewell. Noises.
I'll leave that in.